Blog Talk Radio.
Be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will come with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, you can call in at 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
Praise be to God. Your name endureth forever. Father, your gifts are priceless. You gave your son Jesus to save us, and your motivation was love. I pray that the gifts I give to others will come from an overflow of my heart, and that they will echo the great love you have for all of your children. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, let's assemble. We're gonna have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God? Covered me in his blood. love, only his love, restores my soul forever. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see,
is
he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel a part of me.
Yes. And no matter,
no matter what the touch, somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call him,
Jesus,
you gotta call on him,
sustaining me.
My Lord.
Sustains me
late in the midnight hour,
sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night,
sustains me
trouble,
God is sustaining
trouble on the mind,
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes you're free.
I have no words, and I don't deserve your glorious love. Is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I'll trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love. Like thunder, you said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no
everybody. It is now time for our devotional message for this evening. Amen. Which is entitled Seek My Face. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 27 and 8 in the New King James Version, where it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Amen. Praise God. My second scripture reading is coming from Philippians 4 and 7 from the MSG Bible. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Praise be to God. And my third scripture reading is coming from Jeremiah 29:13. And it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is Seek My Face, and you will find more than you ever dreamed possible. Let me displace worry at the center of your being. I am a super saturated cloud, showering peace into the pool of your mind. My nature is to bless. Your nature is to receive with thanksgiving. This is a true fit designed before the foundation of the world. Glorify me by receiving my blessings gratefully. I am the goal of all your searching. When you seek me, you find me and are satisfied. When lesser goals capture your attention, I fade into the background of your life. I am still there, watching and waiting, but you function as if you were alone. Actually, my light shines on every situation you will ever face. Live radiantly by expanding your focus to include me in all your moments. Let nothing dampen your search for me. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. His love is boundless, infinite, and eternal. Today, let me pause and reflect upon Christ's love for me, and let me share that love with all those who cross my path. And as an expression of my love for him, let me share Christ's saving message with a world that desperately needs his grace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection, and you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with us to conduct our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, you can dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Amen. And if you have a prayer request, you can also call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. At this time, I will play another selection.
Fill me up, God. and permeate all my soul. Love of God overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul. All my soul is yours.
Dear Lord, I will guard my heart against the evils, the temptations, and the distractions of this world. I will focus instead upon your love, your blessings, and your Son. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
I will do anything,
yeah.
Just to see.
every voice in this room. We have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him.
Every praise
is to our God.
praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Jesus. Praise God. 1 second, please. To God be the glory. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. Now it is time for our talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson, by our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins, who's going to come and conduct our lesson for this evening. So we are going to welcome
Amen.
Her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. How are you this evening? I'm doing well. I mean, you know, God is so good because last Wednesday I couldn't read. And today I can see these letters just as clear as ever.
Amen. God be the glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, God. So, yes. So how are you? How's everybody?
Everybody's good. I got a good report from my daughter. Everything is working out the way that it's supposed to with her. Praise be to God.
Yeah.
So that is so awesome.
Yes,
so she keeps me in contact with everything that's going on, which is a blessing because, you know, like before, sometimes you hear and sometimes you don't. But
right. Now this even improved this her getting ill. Just God, you know what, God is so awesome because, you know, he just don't do one thing. If you look at it all in the inclusiveness of it, so he's even made you and your daughter closer than you've been for a long time.
Exactly. It's been years.
So that illness, through that illness, God brought y'all together.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank him enough.
Lord.
As Sister Barbara say, if I had 10,000 tongues, I still can't thank him enough.
Thank him enough. Amen.
Amen.
That is the truth.
Praise
right.
God.
Wow.
God bless you, Sister Barbara. How are you? I keep saying Sister Barbara, but it's all right.
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you all doing?
We're
doing good.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Good. Amen. So we're going to finally get into Haggai, which has been, it's such a short, you know, the two chapters, but it almost seemed like it took us a lifetime to get through it, but to God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Let us open up in prayer. Dear God, Lord God, we love you, Lord God. We honor you, Lord God, and we praise your holy name, Lord God. Lord God, we welcome you and the Holy Spirit into this lesson, Father. I pray that what is said, Lord God, is made clear to each and every one of us, Lord God. Please give us an ear to hear, Lord God, what it is that you want us to know, what it is that you want to apply to our lives, Lord God, what it is that you want us to share with others, Lord God. We thank you and praise you. We don't take these times for granted, Lord God. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to be here today. I thank and praise you, Lord God, for Sister Barbara. I thank and praise you, Lord God, for Evangelist Hilda. I thank and praise you, Lord God, for all who will listen in to this lesson, Lord God. Because, God, there's nothing that you do that is ever a mistake, Lord God. You are in control of every single thing. So I thank you and praise you in your precious son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. So we were up to the theme and purpose of Haggai. So Haggai's basic theme is clear. The remnant must reorder its priorities and complete the temple before they can expect the blessings of God upon their edit. That's it. They have one priority to do, is to complete that temple. Because of spiritual indifference, because of their spiritual indifference, they fail to respond to God's attempt to get their attention. What does it mean by spiritual indifference?
Different. Spiritual indifference. I don't know.
So indifference kind of means against. So spiritual indifference, like they did not worship God. You know, spiritually they were indifferent to God. So they were against God. So spiritual indifference is like being a, yes, please.
Indifference is not caring one way or the other. They were indifferent.
Thank
it
you.
Didn't matter whether they accepted him or they didn't care to take him in or not. It didn't, you know, they didn't care.
They didn't care, yes. So they have, because of their spiritual indifference, they failed to respond to God's attempt to get their attention. Mm. In their despondency, again, in their just not caring, they did not realize that their hardship were divinely given symptoms of their spiritual disease. So they were in hardship, right? They had hardships, you know, but they didn't realize why they were going through such hardship. And it was because of their spiritual indifference to God.
Okay.
So in their despondency, they did not realize that their hardships were divinely given symptoms of their spiritual disease. Haggai brought them to an understanding that circumstances become difficult when people place their own selfish interests before God. When they put God first and seek to do his will, he will bring his people joy and prosperity.
Amen.
So it's what we know, right? It's like you're disobedient to God, you're gonna really suffer, you know. But when we put God first and seek to do his will, he will bring his people joy and prosperity.
Amen.
So the keys to Haggai, or the key word, was the reconstruction of the temple. So, Hilda, if you can find Haggai 1, verses 7 and 8, and Sister Barbara, Haggai 2, 7 and 9, please.
7 and 8 says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies say. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And 2, 7, and 9
says, and mine starts at 6.
Okay.
This is what God of the angel army said. Before you know it, I will shake up sky and earth, ocean and fields, and I'll shake down all the godless nations. They'll bring bushels of wealth, and I will fill this temple with splendor. God of the angel army says so. I own the silver. I own the gold. Decree the God of the angel armies. This temple is going to end up far better than it started out, a glorious beginning, but an even more glorious finish, a place in which I will hand out wholeness and holiness, decree of God of the angel armies. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the key chapter, and you just read it, was chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. they record some of the most startling prophecies in Scripture concerning the coming of the Messiah. But thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. So those verses record some of the most startling prophecies. There were actually prophecies in Scripture concerning the coming of the Messiah. So Christ in Haggai, the promise of chapter 2, verse 9, and chapter 2, verse 9, we read that, but it points ahead to the crucial role the second temple is to have in God's redemptive plan. Herod the Great later spent a fortune on the project of enlarging and enriching this temple, and it was filled with the glory of God incarnate every time Christ came to Jerusalem. The Messiah is also portrayed in the person of Zerubbabel. I will, it says, and this is in 2 and 23, I will take you, Zerubbabel. I will make you as a signet ring, for I have chosen you. And that's 2:23. Could you read that, Sister Barbara, please?
Mine starts at 21. It says,
okay,
I am about to shake up everything, to turn everything upside down and start over from top to bottom, overthrow governments, destroy foreign powers, dismantle the world of weapons and armaments, throw armies into confusion so that they end up killing one another. And on that day, this is God's message, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, as my personal servant, and I will set you is a signet ring, the sign of my sovereign presence and authority. I've looked over the field and chosen you for this work, the message of God of the angel armies.
Amen. So we see Zerubbabel becomes the center of the Messianic line and is like a signet ring, sealing both branches together. So we have, there's a diagram in the book that shows David at the top of the diagram, Solomon on the left, and Nathan on the right. Does everybody know who was Nathan?
The prophet.
Nathan was the prophet.
Remember who's Nathan?
The prophet came to David to tell him that he was wrong when he had Uriah killed. Uriah. And she was husband killed.
Yes. And so this was the diagram, has David on the top, Solomon on the left, Nathan on the right, and there's Zerubbabel in the middle. And then Zerubbabel branches out to Joseph and Mary. So that's how we see Jesus in the lineage. So, Hilda, could you get Matthew 1 and 12?
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Barbara, can you get Luke 3 and 27?
Okay.
Matthew 1 and 12. Okay. Mm. 12 says, after the Babylonian exile, Jehovah Chen was the father of Sheotai. Sheotai was the father of Zerubbabel. I hope I said that right. Sheotai.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, biblical names is like, ooh.
Yeah, so we see Zerubbabel in the lineage.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zerubbabel, as he mentioned, Luke 3 and 27. Is he in there?
Mine goes from 23 to 38, and you wanted to start with Zerubbabel?
27, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's not marked like that as it is in the message. But I'll say
okay.
From 27 to what?
It's just 27, Luke 3 and 27.
Oh, it says, son of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel.
Yeah. Right. So he's mentioned in the lineage. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So Zerubbabel is important. So Haggai was one of the few prophets whose message brought quick and tangible results. Only 23 days after his first oracle, the people began to work on the temple for the first time in 14 years. So he was really successful getting them to work. They didn't work for 14 years. He managed to get them to work.
Mm-hmm.
Founding the second temple marked a major turning point in God's dealing with his covenant people. And 2 and 19 says, but from this day forward, I will bless you. That is simple as that. You mm-hmm. built the temple. You're obedient to me.
Mm-hmm.
And from this day forward, I will bless you.
Amen.
This was because of the centrality of the sanctuary to the whole religious life in the Mosaic law. It was not only the focus of the whole system of offerings and sacrifices, priests and worship, it was also the symbol of Israel's spiritual identity and a visible reminder of the person, power, and presence of God. So that's how important that temple, the temple was. Now that the Davidic throne was gone, it was especially important that the temple be built to bind the remnants together as the continuing covenant, covenant people of God until Jesus, right? So
yes.
So Haggai lacks the vivid imagery and poetry of other prophets like Isaiah and Nahum, but his concise austere message were successful. He got right to the point. This is what you gotta do. Right to the point. His words ring with divine authority. Thus says the Lord. And similar expressions appear 26 times in Haggai's 38 verses. Thus said the Lord. This is what the Lord said. Okay.
Thus says the Lord.
So you better do what thus said the Lord to do.
That's right. Or you suffer the consequences.
Absolutely. So Haggai is second only to Obadiah in brevity among Old Testament books. It means a shortness. Like Obadiah is also a short book. I think Obadiah has just about three chapters too.
Okay.
So Haggai is second only to Obadiah in brevity among the Old Testament books.
Mm-hmm. It's brevity.
But it's strong and frank, series of four terse sermons accomplishes its intended effect. So it did accomplish. It was short, but it accomplished what it was supposed to do, the effect, right?
Amen.
The work on the temple has ceased, and the people have become more concerned with the beautification of their own house. So this is what was happening. They stopped working on the temple, and they became more concerned with the beautification of their own houses than with the building of the central sanctuary of God. We know
and
that because of their.
No,
and we know that because of their.
Now I was going to say Obadiah is only one chapter.
Oh, it's one chapter. Okay, right. So he's one, and this is two. So they're about to be shortest. Okay, because of their misplaced priorities. Their labor is no longer blessed by God.
Mm.
Only when the people put the Lord first by completing the task he has set before them will his hand of blessing once again be upon them. So only when they decided to do that. So now Hagar acts as God's man in God's hour. And his four messages are, one, the completion of the latter temple. That's chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. The glory of the latter temple, which was 2, 1 through 9. And the present blessing of obedience, which is the rest of chapter 2, which is 10 through 19. And the future blessings of promises, which we see at the end of chapter 2, 20 through 23. Now, the completion of the latter temple, which we said was chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, we might as well read that again. Hilda, can you get it? Chapter 1, verses 1 through 15.
Okay. Where are we going back to Obadiah? Hagar. Okay, because I lost my page when I turned to Matthew.
Chapter Zephaniah.
Okay. Got it. What am I reading? 1 through 15?
1 through 15. Yeah, 1 through 15.
Okay. So, the call to rebuild the temple. On August 29th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord gave a message through the prophet Hagar to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. I know I didn't say it right.
So who was Zerubbabel?
Son of Shealtiel.
What was his role?
He was the governor.
Right. Of Judah. Right, so I want to just differentiate their roles, because remember, Hagar was the prophet, but Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah, you know, and he, what did Zerubbabel do?
He was one of the first ones to trek back to Jerusalem from Babylon after being captive.
Amen. Thank you. Right, so he led thousands of Israelites, you know, back to Jerusalem. Yep. Okay. Go ahead, Hilda.
Okay. 2. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. The people are saying,
the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army say. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much but harvest little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills. Bring down the timber and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hope for a rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's army. Why? While all of you are busy building your own fine houses, it's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message from the Lord their God. When they heard the words of the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent, the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. They began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of Heaven's army, on September 21st of the second year of King Darius' reign. Amen. That's a lot. Are you on mute?
Yep, I was on mute. So, when the remnants first went to Jerusalem with Zerubbabel, they did mm-hmm. work on the temple, right? They worked mm-hmm. on the temple, but then they stopped.
Yeah.
Do you remember why they stopped working on the temple?
I think because they've got lazy?
Partially. Mm-hmm. But do you remember what the opposition that happened?
Oh, that was that when they went into captivity by the Babylonians?
No, this was after they left captivity. So let's put this into perspective, Hilda. This is after the 70 mm-hmm. years of captivity mm-hmm. when they were able to, when the king allowed them to leave Persia Babylon, you know, was taken over by Persia, when the king allowed them to leave and go back to Jerusalem to build the temple.
Right.
So they're already freed from that, from exile. They're out of exile.
Okay.
So the first group that went over was Zerubbabel and the Israelites. They went back to rebuild the temple. That was their purpose. That was the main reason why, they were getting out of exile. But that was their main purpose for going back to Jerusalem.
To rebuild the
temple.
But
remember when they, right.
So if I may,
Sister Barbara, you gotta say something.
They, the people stopped building the temple because they started concentrating on their own houses, and they left the building of the temple to take care of their own.
That too, but the other part to it is that, you know, when they got to Jerusalem, there were people living there. There were Samaritans living there. In Jerusalem, they occupied the land, and they were oppositional to oppositional to the Jews rebuilding the temple. Remember, they were giving them a hard time when they got there, and they were very, you know, they were making up laws prohibiting them from doing any further work, and they were really putting a lot of pressure on them. Because they felt like if they built the temple that they would be strong and they would, you know, get back their strength and the Samaritans didn't want them to rebuild the temple. So they gave them a hard time. And then after that, they just lost morale. You know, they just lost morale and they stopped building, you know, because of the because of all of how they were being literally terrorized by the people who were living in Jerusalem, which were the Samaritans. Y'all remember that? We had, I'm trying to think, I'll find the scripture, but I think it's, we saw that in Kings. Not Kings, in I will. Well, you know, let's
go on.
Let's go on. But anyway, just remember that. So then, right, after that, they were like, well, let's just build our own houses. So they gave up on the temple. And they also started to mingle with the Samaritans. They married them. They had families with them. You know, they were just, you know, they were just, like, they just assimilated into that environment that they walked into. They forgot all about why they was there. And so that's, yeah, so that's, So they just became disillusioned. And then they were like, okay, let's just build our own houses, you know. So they have no problem in building rich dwellings for themselves. They actually called it in some scripture panel houses. While they claim that the time for building the temple has not come yet. Who are you to say that? They ain't going to talk about the time to build the temple has not come yet. You know? I mean, who told you that? You know? They're making up their own rules. So God withdraws his blessings and they sink into an economic depression. Mm-hmm. However, they do not recognize what is happening because of their indifference to God. And what did we learn about indifference? Hilda, you remember what indifference is?
Oh, they wanted to do it their way. They wasn't thinking about God, what God wanted them to do.
They could care less. Right. As Sister Barbara said, indifference is like you just don't care either way. Who cares? Like that.
What God wanted. They only care about what they want.
Mm-hmm. So because of their indifference to God and indulgence of self, so God communicates directly to the remnant through his prophet Haggai, Zerubbabel, the governor, Joshua, the high priest, and all the people respond And they're like, woo, you better get on this. It took them 23 days later, and they again began to work on the temple. So they went and gathered up everything they needed, and they went to work on the temple. That's so that. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, we see where the glory of the latter temple. So in a few short weeks, the enthusiasm of the people soared into discouragement. The elders remembered the glory of Solomon's temple and bemoaned the puniness of the present temple. And we see that in Ezra. In Ezra verses 8 through 13, it says, in the second year after their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, began their work, and the remainder of their brothers and priests and the Levites and all who came from the captivity to Jerusalem. They appointed the Levites from 20 years old to direct the work of the house of Yahweh. And Jeshua, with his sons and brothers, and Kadmiel and his sons of Judah together, directed the workers in the house of God, along with the sons of Henadad and the sons and brothers of Levite. And sons and brothers of Levi, and the builders laid the foundation of the temple of Yahweh, and the priests and their apparel and the trumpets and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with the cymbals were positioned to praise Yahweh as directed by King David of Israel. And they sang responsively with praising and thanksgiving to Yahweh, saying, for he is good, for his loyal love is everlasting. And all the people responded with great shouts of joyful claim and praise to Yahweh because the house of Yahweh was laid. But many of the elderly priests, Levites, and heads of families who had seen the first temple wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house. But many shouted aloud with joy. No person could distinguish the sounds of joy acclaim from the sounds of people weeping. For the people shouted with great joy acclaim, and the sounds were heard afar. So you have what's happening here when Ethan was built.
It was mixed emotions. The elderly people didn't like it because they had seen a grander temple, and the younger ones who had seen the former temple were glad. They were, oh, so beautiful, it's lovely, but the older ones, not even, it does not compare to what it ought to be.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness gracious. You know how discouraging that is, right? So, right, the elders remembered the glory of Solomon's temple. We know how glorious Solomon's temple was. It was with the gold and the this and the that.
And this one didn't even measure up.
Puny.
Nope.
Yeah, they said the puniness of the present temple. So Haggai's prophetic word of encouragement reminds the people of God's covenant promise in the past and his covenant plan for the future. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former temple. And that's in 2 and 9 where it says, Haggai 2 and 9, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says Yahweh the host. And in this place, I will give peace, declares Yahweh the host. So then we see the present blessing of obedience. So, Sister Barbara, can you get chapter 2, verses 10 through 19, please?
Okay, and I just want to say that the materials that were used in building the second temple came from the hills, mm-hmm. where it says in verse 1, God mm-hmm. told them to go up in the hills and cut down the timber. So the timber,
right.
compared to the cedar and the gold and the silver,
ooh, yes.
I mean, yeah, that's a little lacking in what
that's
the original one
said. Big difference. Right?
Yes.
That's a big difference.
A wooden house against a brick mansion or marble mansion, quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, 10, on the 24th day of the ninth month, again, this was in the second year of Darius, God's message came to Haggai, God of the angel armies speaks. Consult the priest for a ruling. If someone carries a piece of sacred meat in his pocket, meat that is set apart to sacrifice on the altar, and the pocket touches a loaf of bread, a dish of stew, a bottle of wine or oil, or any other food, will these foods be made holy by such contact? The priest said no. Then Haggai said, how about someone who is contaminated by touching a corpse? If that person touches one of these foods, will it be contaminated? The priest said, yes, it will be contaminated. Then Haggai said, so this people is contaminated. This nation is contaminated. Everything they do is contaminated. Whatever they do for me is contaminated. God says so. Think back. Before you set out to lay the first foundation stone for the rebuilding of my temple, how did it go with you? Isn't it true that your foot-dragging, half-hearted efforts at rebuilding the temple of God were reflected in a sluggish, halfway return on your crops, half the grain you were used to getting, half the wine? I hit you with drought and blight and hail. Everything you were doing got hit, but it didn't seem to faze you. You continue to ignore me, God's decree. You said through 19?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Think ahead
yes.
from
yes.
this same date, this 24th day of the ninth month. Think ahead from when the temple rebuilding was launched. Has anything in your fields, vine, fig tree, pomegranate, olive tree, failed to flourish? From now on, you can count on a blessing. And God's word is already blessed.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, based on Haggai's message to the priest illustrates the concept of contamination and applies it to the nation. But the Lord requires holiness and obedience. And the contamination of sin blocks the blessings of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people have obeyed God in the temple, they will be blessed from that day forward. So
right.
God will wash away all of the sins that they previously had, because he said from that day forward, they will be blessed from the time they became obedient to the Lord. So the future blessings of promise is chapter 2, 20 to 23, which I can read. And the word of Yahweh came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month, saying, say to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms and destroy the military strength of the kingdoms of the nations. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses and their riders will fall, every one by the sword of another. On that day, declares Yahweh of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares Yahweh, and I will make you the signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares Yahweh as host, and we have read that before. So on the same day that Haggai addresses the priest, he gives a second message to Zerubbabel. God will move in judgment, and in his power, he will overthrow the nations of the earth. At that time, Zerubbabel, a symbol of the Messiah to come, will be honored.
I have a question.
So that, yes.
So what does it mean for Zerubbabel to be set as a signet ring?
Well, let's look up, because I was thinking about a signet ring too. I know a signet ring, the first time I heard about a signet ring was when we read the story of Esther, where the king gave his signet to Esther's uncle. But there's a significance to a signet ring.
Signet ring was used to guarantee the authority and the authenticity of a letter. It served as a signature when pressed in soft wax on a written document. God was reaffirming and guaranteeing his promise of a Messiah through David's line in Matthew 1:12.
Amen. And
so that's
and
it.
We also
thank
know,
you.
Thank you. That at the at a certain time, not so much now, but on the back of an envelope, you would melt the wax and take something and make a stamp, your initials or some kind of signature, some kind of letter that was a signet to kind of seal that envelope. And one of my first understandings of the signet ring was in Genesis when Tamar and Judah had their dealings.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Judah had sex with the thought he was a harlot, and she asked him for his bracelet, the signet ring, and his staff.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, when she confronted him, she presented those things to him. So that was a sign of authority, that signet ring, which
mm-hmm.
was put on documents and such, as Evangelist Hilda already stated. So.
Yeah.
It just shows that Zerubbabel's authority.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. In the line, in the line of the Messiah to come,
Mm-hmm. Personal servant,
Yeah, absolutely. So that concludes Haggai. And any other thoughts or...
questions regarding wonderful lesson. But I was looking at 2:10, right? And where
mm-hmm.
it was saying in my book is the blessings promised by obedience. In my book it said on December 18th of the second year of King Darius' reign. But then when I went down underneath, it said, when Sister Barbara read it, it said the 24th. So I went, when I'm looking at it now, underneath the scripture, it's saying Hebrew on the 24th day of the ninth month of the ancient Hebrew lunar calendar. It's
because my Bible says on the 24th day of the ninth month, too. In the second year of Darius. So which one is the Hebrew lunar, the 24th day?
Right, the 24th is the Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is similar to it in 2:18. And it said, think about the 18th day of December, the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Think carefully. So it's saying, similarly in 2:18, this event occurred on December 18, 520 B.C. Also, see the note on 1 and 1A, 2:18, or on this 18th day of December, think about the day. So Hebrew is the seed yet in the barn. Oh, that's 2:19. So So that's what I was trying to figure out, what was the difference, why one says 18 and the other one says 24. But when I read that, it said that the 24th day was the ninth month, in the ninth month, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's the ancient Hebrew lunar.
Okay.
The lunar calendar. So their dates are different from what ours is there.
So yeah. I think their days start in the evening, so like from 6 p.m. until the following day. That's considered, like, in our calendar, the next day. They start counting from sundown to be the next day. So even with the celebration of different Jewish holidays, they start from sundown.
Yeah.
And that's considered like the next day for us.
Okay.
Right, right.
Exactly.
So that's
lunar. They go by the moon.
Yes.
Mhm. Yeah. All right. So we go into Zechariah next week. So yeah, let's see what Zechariah has about. I think it has. Let's see. Nine chapters for Zechariah.
No, I'm looking at 10.
You see 10?
I see 14.
Whoa. Oh, true. Yeah, it goes all the way to 14. Yeah, it goes all the way to 14. 14, 20, 1 anymore. Yeah. So you could try to read them. Try to read Zechariah if you want to send us some reminders as well.
Okay.
We go through Zechariah.
And we're getting ready for the last chapter in the Old Testament, Malachi.
Malachi, yes. Mm. Yeah, boy, we went through all of the prophets. We went through the kings, the prophets, Genesis. We went through, we're moving.
Yes.
So you want us to read all 14 chapters?
Between now
and we've done that before.
Between now and next Wednesday, I guess, right?
Mhm. Mhm. Yep. Break it into how many days?
7 days.
Is it 2 a day? Because it's 7 days. Yep.
Want to do that?
2 a day. Yep.
Okay. You said okay. Okay.
Somebody want to pray us out?
Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again a few of your humble servants put together to say thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to get through this day, a day that we've never seen before. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for all of those who are assembled here on the line. We ask that you bless each and every home, them as they come, bless them as they go. Father God, cover them. Keep them in your keeping care, and they will be kept. I ask that you just, those that were not able to come on the line, bless them also. Cover them, keep them, love on them, heal them, help them, Father God. And any other thing that they might need that we don't know of. Bless our friends, our families, our enemies too, Lord God. Give us more love and compassion and understanding and care. We know that you sit on the throne, Father God, and you make no mistakes. You know what you're doing, and for that we are blessed. So once more, we thank you. We love you. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. Keep doing what you're doing, Father God. You're doing a wonderful job. Love you so much. Nobody does it like you. Nobody can do it like you do. And, Father God, just thank you for your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy, your favor, Father God, all of your benefits, Lord God. And right now, just bless the bereaved families, wherever they may be. Bless this government, Father God. Bless this world, Father God. Thank you for ending the pandemic, and we know that it may not be manifested, but I'm just calling it to be. So thank you for ending the pandemic.
Thank you, God.
Thank you. all the healings that you've done, Lord God. All those who've gone in the hospital, come out, gone into rehab, and now have gone home. Sister, Lakeisha, in particular, comes to mind. So we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't say thank you enough. So, God, we thank you. All these blessings we ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes. Praise God.
Thank you.
All right. Have a blessed night,
everybody. Love you guys.
Good night. Bye.
Thanks.
Oh, see you Sunday.
Bye-bye. Hope to see you for the weekend.
Yes.
Yes.
God willing.
And
love
if you have to go out, stay warm.
Oh, yes. You too. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.